Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Whatever trials one might face, God has given every believer the ability to seek Him in prayer. Like David, we know that the Lord is good, ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon His name. Please open your Bible to Psalm 86 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola discusses this Psalm of David.
Psalm 86, a prayer of David. I wrote this in my Bible. God must be willing to help me, or He wouldn't tell me to pray. He must be willing to help me. He knows that I need help, so He says, here, just pray. Just pray. And this is a psalm of King David. It's at a time when his enemies are surrounding him and attacking him. We see there that down in verse 14. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Now, that word Lord is Jehovah. Hear me, for I am poor and needy, or poor in spirit. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Now, that word holy means set apart. That's what the word holy means. Set apart. Holy means set apart for exclusive or the master's use. The Sabbath, the seventh day, was holy. It was set apart, different than the other days. The priesthood were a people that were set apart from others. They were separate from others. The temple was separate from other buildings because it was set apart. You have been set apart by God for the master's use. Isn't that wonderful? You, each and every one of you, set apart. In that context, you and I are holy. And Peter says, quoting from Leviticus, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Just live a separated life, a life set apart for the Lord. You know, we carry out our regular lives. We go to work like everyone else, and we buy groceries like everyone else, and we've been affected by all of this stuff with, you know, quarantines and all. But in the midst of it all, we are to be holy. There's to be something different about us. A different way that we look at things. A different way that we see things. A holy mindset. Preserve me, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God. Now there it says, Elohim, save thy servant that trusts or confides in thee. Three times David is going to define himself as thy servant. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Every human being has a master. Every human being has a master. Question is, finding the right servant, right? Or finding the right master. Who are you going to serve? And so, isn't it wonderful to be under rowers of our master, Jesus Christ? Do you know what an under rower is? They're the people in the bottom of the ship that are just rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. They're not seen. Isn't it wonderful to have Jesus as our master? Master. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. Now there it's Adonai, for I cry unto thee daily. In Psalm 57, verses 1 and 2, and I believe that this is really for some of you tonight, some of you watching online. We read, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, listen to this, unto God that performeth or is performing all things for me. I will cry unto God Most High. God, I don't understand it. I can't harmonize what is going on. But you have promised me that you're performing all things for me. And so I don't have to understand it. I don't have to figure it out. All I have to do, well, I'm saying that flippantly, just trust you. That you know what you're doing. Just because I don't know what I'm doing doesn't mean that you've lost your mind. I'm glad one of us in this relationship is constantly sane. And it's not me. He's working for you. God works for you and for me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Psalm 138 says He will perfect that which He's begun. He began a good work in you. And right now you may be hitting a bump in the road. We all hit the bumps, don't we? We all have to go for those spiritual wheel alignments from time to time. And yet, be merciful unto me. Be merciful unto me. I'm not sure if I'm going to be mentioning this later, but in case I do, I'll just have to repeat myself. One of the things that be very sensitive to, one of the things you'll find in the scripture, that Jesus may be among the multitudes, and then when he hears like the blind man say, oh, be merciful unto us, it's like when somebody cries out for mercy, Jesus stops. God, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. And he is. He's a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Never question the mercy of God. Never question the goodness of God. He's good and he's merciful. Rejoice, the soul of thy servant. There is the request for joy. Rejoice, my soul, Lord. For unto thee, O Lord, now there is Adonai. Do I lift up my soul? That's a Hebrew idiom expressing dependence. Lord, I lift up my soul to you because I depend on you. If you're not going to depend on the Lord, then forget about praying to him. Forget about asking him for direction if you're just going to go do your own thing. You might as well not pray. I'm depending on you. I'm needing to hear from you. And you know, when you and I are serious, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need direction. I need an open door. He will do that. Now, it might not be overnight, but he's faithful. He makes everything beautiful in his time. Don't you love verse 5? Oh, I love this. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. How many is that?
All.
Oh, he's plenteous in mercy. When it says God is plenteous, that's a lot of plenty. A lot of plenty. I just thought of something real funny, family funny thing. Yeah. Psalm 130, verse 4, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. He is good. He is ready to forgive. He's ready. Do you need forgiveness? Now, who keeps, since that is how God is, who do you think is keeping you away from going to him? Yourself? Some legalists? And certainly the devil. He is good. He is ready to forgive. Never doubt that he's ready to forgive. You be honest with him. He knows it all anyways. It's not like you can slip one by him. He's plenteous in mercy. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess means to say the same thing as God says. Lord, I admit it. That was pride. That was arrogance. I just whispered about someone. I gossiped. I listened to it. And God's not surprised, by the way. He's not surprised. He knows what we're made of. He knows that we're but dust. Give ear, O Lord, Jehovah, verse 6, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. And he does. And the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, and you will answer me. How many of you have found that to be true? Oh my. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. He's the one that can make beauty out of ashes. You know what? David was not a perfect man. You know that, right? And yet David, with all of his failures, was confident that God would answer his prayer. Pastor Chuck Smith, in his book on prayer, said, it's important to know God's character and nature. That gives us confidence to seek him. When you think of God, what's the first attribute that you think of? Don't tell me wrath. What do you think? He's holy. Yeah. He's love. He's good. Just remember that. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. You know. He's willing to forgive. He's compassionate. Just look at how he dealt with people, sinners, while he was ministering on earth. Amazing. The people that he had the hardest time with were the self-righteous legalists. Really? Isn't that true? To my knowledge, he's the only one that was the only group that he says, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. No wonder Jesus said the prostitutes and the publicans, they're going to go into the kingdom before you will. You know, he's so good. The first thing that comes to your mind when you think of God is very important. That's it. Now, that's very important. Lord, Father, 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 Lord, Savior. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, and you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like thee. I love the fact that Reuben, the Lord put it upon his heart to sing that. There is none like thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. Exodus 15:11 says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Psalm 40, beginning of verse 18 says, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? Verse 25 then says, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one fails. He is holding the universe together. Praise God. And you know what, beloved? That is our God tonight. That's the God we're talking about. That's the one who says, I am able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. He's able. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Now, I particularly That's a prophecy that is goes back to Psalm 22, beginning in verse 27 and then verse 28. It says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. Now the King James says, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. I can honestly say tonight, I love my governor. He is the governor among the nations. Now, I know the word means to rule and to reign, you Hebrew scholars, but it says in the KJV, he's my governor. I love my governor so much. And he rules, and every earthly governor is going to answer to that governor. They may think that they're high and mighty, but there is only one that is high and mighty. So let me move on. You are great and do wondrous things, for you, Elohim, are God alone. He only does wondrous things. He's doing wondrous things right now. Right here in this place. Just us functioning. Just the human body. What's going on right now is completely amazing. All that is happening just in this room right now in you, and he only does wondrous things. And then in verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Oh, I wish I would have prayed that when I was a teenager. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. You know what the psalmist was praying for? David says, God, we sing a song, give me an undivided heart. In Psalm 143, verse 10, we read, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. David asked God to unite his heart. What a thing to pray. You see, because there's all kinds of things that are out there that want our hearts, that want our affections. And we need to have one soul affection from where all other godly and good affections can flow. It comes from him. Lord, give us that undivided heart. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. With all my heart. Lord, I'm going to praise you. We sang songs, and we're going to sing a song tonight. We need to sing with all of our hearts. Don't be concerned about whether you're on key or off key. You sing with your heart, not with your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth sings. That's what he's looking for, worship in the heart. Notice the three I wills of David here. I will walk in thy truth. I will praise thee. I will glorify thy name. David says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk in your truth. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to glorify thy name. I was having a conversation with a dear, dear brother in the Lord that was having some problems with, he didn't know, you know, he was having some divided interests. And I said, one thing I've learned, that where my heart is, my feet will follow. My feet will go wherever my heart is. Wherever my heart is, my mind will go. So you're wondering why you're over here when you should be over here? It's because your heart is over there. You're wondering why you're not at this place It's because that's your heart. Now, I'm not condemning you. There's no stones in my hand. But ask the Lord to cleanse your heart. Ask you, Lord, to give you that heart. Because where your heart is, it's the heart. It's the heart. It's the very core of our being. I will walk in your truth. I will praise you. I will glorify you. Because how many of you know, sometimes you don't even get out of, before you even get out of bed, before your foot even hits the floor, there's a war. Wait a minute. It's like Satan's been waiting all night. Oh, good morning, Raymond. I'm going to mess you up right now. I'm going to mess you up. I'm going to get in your head real, real good. And you go, wait a minute. I can't even yell. I'm not going to wake up Lizzie. I will. I'm determined to. Not in my own strength, but in His strength. Why? For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered me from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul and have not set Thee before them. But Thou, O Lord, Adonai, art a God, El, full of compassion. Another, that word compassion speaks of the pity of God that moves Him to help. You can't have the love of Christ dwelling in your heart and be stationary. The love of Christ will compel us to do something, to act on it. You are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. I have this little book, Seeing and Savoring Jesus Christ, by John Piper, and he said this: since Christ is the incarnate display of the wealth of the mercies of God, it is not surprising that His life on earth was a lavish exhibit of mercies to all kinds of people. Every kind of need and pain was touched by the mercies of Jesus in His few years on earth. And He asks us to be merciful in touching others. David understood God's heart as best as he could. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Okay, last two verses. Oh, turn unto me. There's another, Lord, turn unto me. And have mercy upon me. Give Thy strength unto Thy servant. How many of you need God's strength? I need it. Give Thy strength to Thy servant, and save the son of Thine handmaid. Show me a token for good. That's my prayer for you guys tonight. That's one of my prayers for those who call Koinonia Fellowship their home. Lord, show to everyone that calls Koinonia Fellowship their home, show them a token of favor for good today. That's my prayer for you guys. I don't name you all by name because I forget names. The older that you get, you forget names. You know that, right, Ron? And so when you forget names and people say, hey, Pastor Ray, how are you? They've been here for a while and I forget their names. And then I wait till somebody walks by them and mentions their name. Then I'll go back and go, oh, Steve, how are you tonight? I know you're going to give me the scripture, the memory of the just is blessed. You know you're taking that way out of context, but... show me a token of favor for good. That's my prayer. God, show these precious saints that are here tonight, who decided to be here, who've purposed to come here, show each and every one of them a token of favor for good. For those watching online, show them a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because, Lord, You have helped me and comforted me.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless His holy, His wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.